This is the Edinburgh Reporter podcast, and today I'm with the directors of Filmhouse Edinburgh Limited, a company which was incorporated in late 2022 and which is hoping to run the film house. So I think we better go round the table, as it were, although we're not all in the same room, and get you all to introduce yourselves. Maybe I'll start at the bottom of my screen, which is with Ginny Atkinson. Ginny, you're a director in the charity.
Yes, so I've been a film house lover for as long as I can remember, but I used to work there. I
Well, you
was,
used to be the chief executive, not
well, I
just work
was,
there.
yes, but I was chief exec of the film festival and then for about 5 years also of film house, so.
That's your connection. And then I have Rod White. Well, you were the former head of programming, so why do you want to be involved now?
Well, I was one of the unfortunate few who lost their jobs back in October. And once once the dust had settled and all of that, what the sort of overriding sense became for me anyway, how on earth, I'd sort of come to terms with losing my own job by that point in time, but how on earth can a city like Edinburgh do without a cinema like Filmhouse? So that's why I'm involved.
How long had you worked at Filmhouse?
Well, too long to mention. I had been doing the head of programming job for 18 years.
Okay, so that's considerable experience among
It
all
is
of you.
you'd think I would be fed up with it by now, wouldn't you? But the opposite's
Well,
true.
I guess nobody ever gets fed up with film, that's the thing.
No.
James, you are the last one I want to put under the spotlight. You're the former program manager, and you're now something called a cinema strategist at a specialist consultancy, Mustard Studio. What is a cinema strategist?
So I worked at Filmhouse before I became that for about 16 years, mainly in programming and program delivery. But I left a number of years ago, and one of the things I've done is to start working with Mustard. Mustard Studio is a small consultancy that does a lot of support work with independent cinemas and people wanting to set up independent cinemas. So that includes a number of types of support around kind of marketing and operational development and brand development. The bits that I'm mainly involved in are actually around business modeling, trying to understand the viability and the feasibility of new cinema projects. I work with my colleagues, Kate Garava and Mandy Keane at Mustard to do that for all sorts of different clients, from community groups wanting to set up cinemas to property developers to people with established cinemas who want to try to do what they do more effectively, more efficiently. So at the moment, I'm obviously devoting myself to trying to help get Filmhouse back, and that's just because I think it's just absolutely essential for Edinburgh to have a cinema that does that work to broaden what's available in terms of cultural film.
That's amazing. So all your skills already, just even the three of you, all mesh beautifully. And the other two people who are involved are David Boyd, who was former head of technical, and Mike Davidson, who's a chartered accountant, a strategic financial consultant, and he has lots of charity experience. So you have got already the makings of something which could be pretty successful. So the news is that you are going to start a fundraiser, and once you have enough money in the pot, then you can enter into a 21-year lease with the owners of the film house, Caledonian Heritable, who bought it from the liquidators of CMI earlier this year. So how much do you need to raise?
Well, we're all very keenly aware of how much money we need. We're seeing at the moment a good estimate is 1.25 million in total. People will say, "Oh, why do you need that much?" Some people have said, "Is that all?" It's quite hard to pitch, but it's a true figure. And the crowdfunder that you probably want to talk about later, is at the moment pitched at 250,000 of that amount, but the 1.25 million is to cover what we think is a pretty essential refurbishment of the cinemas and the public areas. We're very lucky because Caledonian Heritable are spending quite a bit of money on a schedule of works to the fabric of the building, and so that it's fit for purpose to lease. But because it's already three cinemas, that doesn't have to change. But we were just noting today that there's still gaffer tape on the carpet on the stairs, and that somewhat regrettably, for various reasons, the cinemas and the public areas had not really been upgraded or improved or maintained to what we call a comfortable level for the public for some time. So this is the chance to do that and to reopen the cinema. We want to make it more comfortable and lovely. Yes. for new audiences as well as our faithful audiences.
But if I ask Rod this question, perhaps, I mean, the condition of Film House previously, and we all know that there was talk about putting up a brand new seven-storey Film House, which never went anywhere, so we don't really even need to discuss that. But the condition of Film House never really put audiences off. You know, you had big enough audiences because of the programming.
Mm. That's one of those things that's it's very difficult to know. It's very difficult to have, you know, cold hard facts you can rely upon about how off-putting or not the state of a place is. We didn't have quite a lot of anecdotal evidence that people weren't you know, entirely comfortable with the way the place was, but as it is only really anecdotal evidence. So we would be keen to, you know, have nobody put off by that. So, you know, a more kind of neutral ambience might be might be something we would go for. But it's nothing. I mean, our priority is getting the place open again but we accept that there are things about the building that just need to be fixed.
I think James can elaborate, especially from his position, on the fact that we're very aware of there's one thing that we're very keen to do, which is to expand audiences for Film House. You know, it's fine having your loyal following and they come along and it's all great, but you know, we've got a remit to develop audiences for cinema and the cinema that we put on. And in order to do that, we feel we've got to be competitive with the experience that people have when they go to other cinemas. And the seats in Cinema One, for instance, and Cinema Two have not been changed for I can't even remember how long. And that's something that's a very simple example of tastes change, you know, expectations change. And if we're going to attract, it's a business decision as much as anything else. You know, we want to open Film House with a new business model that is going to be sustainable. You know, we've got 21-year lease potentially, so it's got to keep going for 21 years. And that means making sure that we have new audiences coming through the door and that their expectations can be met in terms of the comfort and nothing. We're not looking for gold taps. We're not looking for, you know, fancy seats to the extent that, you know, we lose capacity or whatever. We just want a good level of comfort for people to be able to enjoy the films.
And a good state of repair, actually, because as Jenny said, you know, there are substantial elements of the fittings in the building at the moment, which are not just, you know, old or a bit worn out, but actually broken, like the gap of carpet or some of the seating in the cinemas really is past its useful life. So so it's really about bringing it up to a standard that is that's just actually adequate for, you know, to offer an audience.
So you are going to be board of directors of this charity. One of you or somebody is going to be running Film House day to day. What will be different, if anything, in the way that you hope to run Film House in the future from the way it was being run in the past? And remembering always that it wasn't Film House which went bust, it was the charity which was running it, CMI. Who wants to answer me that? What is going to be different in the future?
I could have a go at that. The Filmhouse was, you know, prior to October 2022, part of a larger organization. Many of the staff worked across the various elements of the organization. So the fundamental difference here will be that everyone who's employed will be working for the direct benefit of the cinema. There will be no there will be no distractions. With the best will in the world, it's quite hard to sort of, you know, focus on several different areas at the same time. So the focus will be very much, will be entirely on making a success of the cinema. That for me is the key difference.
And somebody is going to run a cafe. And of course, the cafe was the much loved part. Almost, if you put the cafe and the cinema side by side, I think you would have difficulty in working out who loved what most, because I think the cinema, the cafe was really one of those places you knew exactly what you were going to get, that it was going to be good value for money. So you are going to have a cafe of a similar kind?
Yes, the model would be the same, because it's very important that when people spend money in the cafe bar, they know that it's going to the charity ultimately. So as before, there would be a trading subsidiary that runs the cafe bar, and that the profit from that on an annual basis would be covenanted to the charity. So that's the model that we would be pursuing again. And we think that's a good model.
Yes. And so that's going to help support Filmhouse Edinburgh as it goes forward. So going back then to your crowdfunder, which is really being opened on Thursday, 14th September 2023, almost a year, not quite, to the day that the doors were opened, the doors were closed rather. What are you looking for people to invest? How much can they invest? And also, what's this part of the money going to be used for?
Well, the money will go into the big pot, but it will soon, part of this 6 month period that we have an interim agreement about, will enable us to do proper costings for whatever levels of refurbishment we want to do with plan A, B and C. And we don't have that at the moment, so we can't actually see exactly what, for instance, £250,000, which is the target for the crowdfunder at the moment, would be spent on. But it would go into the general pot for the general betterment of the Filmhouse and to get it open, because there are other costs involved, what we call rather boringly pre-opening costs, you know, staffing up, yeah, and looking up, etc., etc. So there's a kind of bundle of money that we need to get the show on the road, including the refurbishment. So I would say the 250,000, if we reach that target, will go into the big pot. So who's going to, well, we had the most incredible response to the appeal in almost a year ago now, as you see, when there was a sort of panic to maybe we could raise enough money to buy the building, because that was what was for sale. And in that time, we raised about 220,000 through the crowdfunder, including Giftie. Now, that was 3 weeks, and over 700 individuals donated. And the rest that we raised, which was another sort of half a million, was in pledges from major donors, philanthropists, people that wanted to give larger amounts of money. So what was fantastic about the crowdfunder was that, you know, literally there was £5 to £5,000 being given by different people. So that's really the answer in one. Yes. Anyone can give any amount.
Yeah. And so what happened to the money which was raised in the previous crowdfunder then?
Well, it wasn't actually money, it was a pledge. So the way the crowdfunders work, it's a pledge until it's crystallized, which we will be this time.
Okay.
But it went back, basically, because it was for a very specific thing that couldn't happen. We didn't have enough money to make a bid for the building.
I see. I understand now. So you're very much hoping that people who supported you before will come forward now. And you have 6 months, which I hadn't quite realized, but you have 6 months from now until you have to either go for it or not. And we'll have to hope that you're going to be able to have the backing to go for it. And I know I'm jumping about five hurdles here, but if you had the choice, and of course you will all have the choice, what would your ideal reopening film be?
Ooh, that's a Rod or James question.
I think it is. That's impossible.
You can't choose between them all.
No, maybe I would find out what film had opened Film House back in the 1970s and repeat it. But
that's a good idea. Yes.
I think it was actually a Fassbender film, but I can't remember which one.
Okay. Well, that would be an interesting, a rebirth, as it were.
Yeah. I was thinking about the same question, and I always find it impossible to pick, any one film. So there's so many incredible ones to see, and I quite like the idea of launching, in all three screens with a different film in each, because the more different films we can introduce people to, the better.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, and that is what Film House is planning to be. It's an independent cinema, but with films to attract people of all ages, and you had. With lots of different genre before, so there's nothing to stop you now.
We've taken for granted, because we understand the Film House over the years, but I think there are possibly quite a few people out there that don't understand or are not quite aware of what is different about Film House in the city. I mean, the city is overscreened, for want of a better word, since all the malls got built with multiplexes everywhere, Ocean Terminal, Cineworld, Omni, etc. There are vast number of cinema screens in the city. And the thing that, it's about what makes Film House different. And the simplest thing one could say is that you can see films here that you cannot see anywhere else in the city, and arguably in the country at any given time. And I mean, Rod, you can dazzle with statistics here, or James, but it's a phenomenal number of films that get shown in Film House, and it's from the whole range of cinema from start to finish, and of course we depend, because it's a business that is balanced, it's a hybrid program, and we depend on new releases, of course we do, but Rod, pick up on what I'm trying to say here. Or James, please.
Go on, James.
I was going to say, and in addition to the, that principle that there's so much on here which can't really be seen elsewhere, there's then all the additional activity around that. So in terms of, filmmaker guest appearances or other practitioner appearances or discussion events or education programs and courses, or live musical accompaniment, all sorts of stuff, which small to large, middle-sized, all sorts of different film festivals on specific themes, general ones. There's all sorts of activity which doesn't happen at other cinemas because it's not, it doesn't work in their particular commercial setting, and they're not equipped to do it, really. So it really is a kind of unique resource in Edinburgh, which allows just a much more intricate, densely intricate kind of programming, which appeals to a great many people.
I'm always dazzled by this figure myself that, I think it was around 80 film titles a month in Film House.
Across three screens, whereas
across the three screens,
you'd have far fewer titles than that, across a much larger number of screens, like most commercial sites. But then, of course, the numbers only tell you so much, and then it's what is actually the character of those films and the cultural breadth that's represented there, which is part of the really amazing aspect.
And the one of the things that might, Oppenheimer, for instance, that's kind of slightly in it with Barbie, has proved that cinema is not dead. We would have screened that in 70mm because we have the 70mm projector. And that was one of the formats that Christopher Nolan wanted the film released in. So that's a really good example of, what Film House can do that's special.
It was very difficult to watch GFT tweeting about their exclusive in Scotland 70mm screenings of Oppenheimer when all the kit exists here in a closed building. But
I guess one day. Well, one day soon we have to hope. And I guess that must come to round this up. I suppose you will know better than me that Caledonian Heritable Limited and Kevin Doyle's company have, in my view, and I'm on the outside looking in, they must have been reasonably open to the suggestion right from the beginning, because now they've gifted all the projection equipment to your new company, which includes the customized analog 35mm and 70mm projectors. So could you have wished for anybody better to work with? I don't think you could have, but hey, I'm putting words into your mouth now.
I would say at this moment in time, no.
No, they've been very open. You know, once they were on side in terms of leasing to us potentially, they've been incredibly helpful.
That's good. That's very good. Well, we look forward to hearing that you have raised the money needed to open the doors, and that's where fundraising contributions can be made. All the W's, crowdfunder.co.uk/filmhouse, open the doors. And we wish you well with your project. Thank you for speaking with us today.
Thank you very much.
Open the doors, Phyllis. Open the doors. Thank you.
Thank you, Phyllis. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.